As you are being seated, please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8, the 8th chapter of Isaiah is where we will find our text today, Isaiah chapter 8. While you are finding Isaiah chapter 8, I want to encourage you to know without a doubt that God is faithful. We serve a faithful God. When I say that God is faithful, there are two things that I mean. First, I mean that he never changes. God never changes. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. That will never change. His love has no measure. His grace has no limit, and that will never change. His wisdom is without contradiction, and his power never fails, and that will never change. He is consistent. He is trustworthy. He is dependable. You can rely on him. God is faithful. He is faithful. Secondly, when I say that God is faithful, I mean that he always keeps his word. He always keeps his word. It is impossible for him to lie. God cannot lie. He keeps his promises. The Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is faithful. He never changes, and he always keeps his word. You can depend on God to be to you what he has been in the past and what he will be in the future. The same God, hallelujah, who met Moses and Abraham and Joshua and Isaiah and Paul and the disciples, the same God who spoke to them and kept his word to them will speak to you and keep his word to you, because he is faithful from one generation to the next. One generation to the next. I'm so thankful that I don't have to rely upon my grandmother's experience with God. I'm so thankful that I don't have to just trust what my mother and my father say about God, but I am thankful that I have experienced God for myself, and now I agree with them. He is faithful. I'm also excited to know that my children may not know him the way I know him today, but one day they too will know him the way that I know him, because as good and faithful as he is to me, he will be to my children. And the Bible says not only to my children, but to my grandchildren and as many as the Lord our God shall call. God is faithful from one generation to the next. Hallelujah. Is thy faithfulness. That is the God that we serve. The challenge for us is that we live in a world that is unfaithful. We live in a world that is constantly changing. Old folks used to sing, "Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. B Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to his unchanging hand. The challenge that I face is, how do I live in a world that is constantly changing and try to hold on to a hand that never changes? How do I look and see the turmoil of this world where nothing stays the same? Things change rapidly. Things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up with all the changes. And yet, I am to hold on to a God who says, in spite of what is changing around you, I never change. It reminds me, I was a senior consultant for ADP for about 6 years, and my job was to know the system, how it works, and communicate that to my clients. And the problem was, every 3 to 6 months, they did a system upgrade, and everything I learned meant nothing anymore, and I had to learn it all over again. How frustrating that was for me, how frustrating that was for my clients. I would hear them say, why are you always changing stuff? It's working. Why are you constantly changing stuff? And of course, I have to be polite because we're trying to improve our customer service and make things better for you, but I couldn't tell them that I was as frustrated about the change as they were. Our world constantly changes, and there's nothing that we can do about it, but yet God never changes. Not only is our world unfaithful because it always changes, but our world is unfaithful because we don't keep our promises anymore. We're not like God, who says something, makes a promise, and doesn't change his mind. Our world is so challenged now that there's a saying that says promises are made to be broken. That doesn't even make sense, but it's speaking from a historical context that because somebody made a promise, it means absolutely nothing. You cannot trust people's promises anymore. In other words, if I make you a promise, you should not expect me to keep my promise. And then we come to church and we tell you that God is a promise keeper. How do we reconcile that? Governments break their promises to their citizens all the time, somebody said. Corporations break their promises to their employees. Husbands break their promises to their wives, and children break their promises to their parents. But God never breaks his promise. If he says it, he makes it good. So bad, contracts don't mean anything anymore, and I'm moving on from this point. But it's so bad that even if you have it in writing, even if all the parties signed off on it, it still means absolutely nothing, because people break contracts all the time. But we're in a covenant relationship with God, and God always keeps his covenants. Hallelujah. He always keeps his promise. In the text that we are getting ready to review this morning, we find that the nation of Israel and Judah are in great turmoil, devastation, and darkness. Here's what I realized. One of the things that makes God faithful is that in times of chaos and darkness and devastation, God always sends a word to his people. I can promise you that when things get dark, you can expect God to say something about what is going on. God always speaks to his people. This morning, God is speaking to this congregation and those of us who have gathered today through the prophet Isaiah. And it's amazing the verses that I'm getting ready to read to you, because it feels like God showed Isaiah 2017. And Isaiah asked God, "God, do you have anything to say about what's going to happen in 2017? What we are getting ready to read to me personally is shocking, but not really, with how precise it is and how applicable it is for us today who are living in a world that has leaned in the direction of chaos. Anybody agree with me that our world is in chaos? Our world is in chaos. And yet, there is a word from the Lord. There is a word from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. Here is what God says to the prophet concerning a nation that is dealing with darkness and chaos. Let's hear the word of the Lord. First thing he says here, he says, "The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does." It's the first thing he says. In days of darkness, in times of chaos, the word of the Lord says, don't think like everybody else. Don't walk like everybody else. And we have to be careful as believers in this unfaithful, dark world that we don't adopt the same mindset of the world. Oh, hear me, church. We've got to be careful that we don't begin to agree with the world's way of thinking and behaving and doing. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that we ought to jump on the bandwagon and go along with the trend of the day. Isaiah said he gave me a strong warning not to think like everybody else. We have to be careful that we don't become skeptical and critical and unfaithful and selfish because everybody else is doing it. We have to be careful that it doesn't become easy for us to break our promises to people because everybody else is breaking their promise. We have to be careful that we don't give ourselves a free pass to be unfaithful because everybody else is unfaithful. We have to be careful. The Bible says that we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The warning that he says to us, you may be living in this dark and fallen world, but do not think like everybody else. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 12 is interesting because he says, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. And don't live in dread of what frightens them. Look at what he says. He says, don't jump on the bandwagon with everybody else who calls everything a conspiracy. Can I tell y'all the truth here? I've had to unfriend some people on Facebook recently because I just can't read any more articles about the conspiracies out there. Here's where I got mad. Y'all know how much I like coffee. Y'all know that I'm a coffee person. Here's where I started unfriending people. When they were sending that conspiracy thing about the Starbucks logo, I said, y'all have gone too far. Y'all have crossed over the line. I'm unfriending everybody. Our world, because it's so much chaos. There's so many things that we don't understand, we can't explain, so we have to think of a conspiracy that will help us to understand how things can be so crazy. There's got to be a secret plan somewhere. There's a secret society that's controlling everything. You can't believe anything that you see because there's a conspiracy behind it. And he says, when you do that, look at what the second verse says, second part of that verse says, and don't live in dread of what frightens them. When you engross yourself in all of these conspiracies, then you begin to live in fear. And I want you to know, it is not God's plan for us to live in fear. Hallelujah. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So do not allow yourself to be engrossed with all of the conspiracies, whether they are right or wrong. If you belong to God, you have no reason to fear. Hallelujah. I don't care what the plan is. I don't care what the logo is or what the secret society says. We don't have to fear because we have relationship with the living God who never changes and he always keeps his word. It says don't fear. Verse 13, he says, may the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. Set them apart in your life. Exalt him in your life. He says, he is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. If you're going to fear anything or anybody, fear God. Hallelujah. Huh? If anything is going to make you tremble and buckle at your knees when you think of the awesomeness of God and the greatness of God and how nothing you are compared to his greatness, that ought to make you shake a little bit. You don't need to be concerned about North Korea or anybody else. If you're going to be afraid of anything, fear God. Tremble at God. Ooh, hallelujah. Don't buy into all the fear that they're pushing out to us. If you listen to all the fear, you won't even leave your house and you'll still be afraid because you'll be afraid that a sinkhole is going to open up and swallow up your house. Don't be afraid of anything. If you want something to fear, fear God. Fear God. Now, I agree with our brother Luke, who some time ago preached a message about fearing God, with the real meaning of the word fear. And I know we want to talk about the love of God, and we want to say that fearing God is respect, and that is an element of it. But I want you to know that something ought to make you a little bit nervous when you consider that you are standing in the presence of the eternal God who with his word created everything that exists. And if your name comes across his mind, your life can change by him just thinking about you. Your life can change by him just looking in your direction. Your life can change with one breath from God. If you're going to fear anybody, that is who you should fear. We ought to be too afraid to disrespect him in his house. Well, we're here to worship him, but we're busy doing other things. We're planning dinner while we're up here trying to worship the living God. Be afraid of him from that perspective. That's what he said. If you want to fear anybody, fear him. Then he said, verse 14, he said, he will keep you safe. Hallelujah. Can I tell somebody, God has promised to keep us safe. There's no safer place to be than in the will of God, in the hand of God. Hallelujah. No body can do anything to you as long as you are in the hand of God. And if you're in the hand of God and something happens, here's another promise. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. One verse said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He will keep us safe. Don't have to worry. Skip down to verse 19, a few more verses, and we'll be out of your way. What do we do in a world of chaos, when the world is in chaos, people are looking for answers. We want solutions. We want to understand why things are happening and what is happening. So he gives us another warning in verse 19. He says, some may say to you, let us ask mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead with their whisperings and mutterings. They will tell us what to do. People are so in so much darkness, wanting an answer. So they say, you know what? Let's talk to mediums, folks who can talk to the dead. And let's see if they can give us the information that we need. Can I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, no believer has any business going to a psychic asking them for information about your life. No believer has any business getting their palms read and tarot cards or whatever they are called, trying to get instruction about who you should marry, should you accept the job, how long is your life going to be, how many kids would you have. If you are a believer in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you have no business even entertaining the idea. Don't even ask the question, should I talk to a psychic? The answer is no. Let me offend some more of y'all. No believer should be looking at their horoscope on a daily basis trying to get information on how your day is going to go. No believer should be seeking information on the stars so that the stars can tell them what their future holds. Let me tell you, the stars don't determine my destiny. The bright and morning star by the name of Jesus has already sealed my destiny. Somebody asked me, Pastor Tim, what's your sign? You know what I say? The cross. That's my sign. He says, some of y'all are in such darkness that now you want to talk to people who talk to the dead to see if they have the answer. Then he goes on to say, but shouldn't people ask God for guidance? See, we don't want to ask God for guidance, huh? We want people to tell us. He says, shouldn't the living seek guidance from the dead? Verse 20, here's where he says, look to God's instructions and teachings. He said, if you want to know what to do, you want to know what's ahead, you want to know what's aligned for you, look to God's teaching and instructions. The answer, can I tell you this? The answer to everything we need is found in the Word of God. There is no situation you could ever face in your life that the Word of God has not addressed in one way or another already. Everything we need is in the Word of God. We don't want to study, though. Can I go down a lane I hadn't planned on going down? But since we're here, we might as well make a U-turn real quick. So maybe we don't go to psychics, but we run from place to place looking for a prophet to speak a word to us. Now, I believe that God speaks, but there's a problem. Oh, I hope this is not my last Sunday here. But there's a problem. If you won't pray, you don't read your Bible, you don't fast, but you want a prophet to speak to you. God has already spoken to us. How do you know that what the prophet said to you is true? It has to measure up with the Bible. So even if you do find a prophet that says something to you, you don't even know whether or not you should receive it if you haven't studied the Word of God. This is your measuring stick to know if it's true or not. Stop going to some of these conferences and stay home and read your Bible and pray and fast and ask God to speak to you through His Word. Let me move on before y'all start walking out. All right, verse 21. Verse 21 really help us to understand some things here. Verse 21, no, the end of verse 20 says, people who contradict His Word are completely in the dark. Huh? People who contradict His Word are completely in the dark. If you reject the Word of God, you are living in darkness, complete darkness. We receive instructions from God, but it's not what we want, so we reject it, and the Bible says you're living in complete darkness. Verse 21, they will go from one place to another, weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. Now, let's be honest here. That's a bad combination, to be tired and hungry. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. You work all day, you're tired, didn't get a chance to eat all day. It's 6 o'clock p.m. and you're sitting in traffic on 694 and somebody cuts you off. You'd be like these folks in the scripture here. You'll curse everything around you. Not y'all, but some people. Huh? We know how our temperature rises when we haven't gotten enough sleep and we haven't gotten enough food. The little things set us off. What's that commercial, with the Snickers bar commercial or whatever? You're normally a nice person. You're normally very patient and loving, but when you get tired and hungry at the same time, you become a beast. Hear the scripture. I didn't mean to call you a beast. But hear the scripture. He says, because they are hungry, they will rage and curse. Why is there so much anger in this world? Why are people going off on this world, in this world? Why is there so much murder and rage? Because people are spiritually tired and hungry, and that has put them in a rage. If you're not feeding off of the Word of God, you are spiritually hungry. And just like when your natural body gets hungry, you become angry. What about your spirit man? What about his hunger? What about his lack of rest? He said, because of that, you rage and they curse their king and their God. Then he says, they will look up to heaven and down to earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. What a heavy prophecy Isaiah gives here, that those who reject the Word of God will be thrown into darkness. They'll look to heaven and they'll look to earth, and all they will see is darkness and trouble. Isaiah 9, verse 1, he changes the subject a bit. He gives us some good news. He says, verse 1, nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Hallelujah to God. He said, chapter 8 was devastating. But the good news is the time of darkness will not go on forever. Verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Hallelujah to God. He says, this time of darkness and despair is temporary. Hallelujah. The people who are living in darkness right now will see a great light. And verse number 6 is the good news and why we celebrate Christmas. Verse number 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Oh, in the midst of the darkness of this world, Isaiah says that darkness is temporary because one day a child is going to be born. Not only is a child going to be born, but unto us a son is going to be given. Hallelujah. We are going to get a son. Hallelujah. In this darkness, you know how children bring light and hope to a family, where people want to have children and grandchildren, because children that are born into a family, they represent hope and lineage, and it represents a new beginning, and you get to start over when you have a new child that comes into the family. So he says, guess what? This darkness is not going to last forever, because one day a child is going to be born and a son is going to be given to us. Oh, that's good news. That's why I don't care about if I don't get the latest thing for Christmas, because I was living in darkness and one day a child was born and a son was given. Oh, but this isn't just an ordinary child. This is not an ordinary son. But they said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Oh, all these things in the government of this world that's out of control. They said, guess what? I got some good news for you. This son is going to be born in charge of the government of this world. Not only that, and we're just about done here. Not only that, but in this dark world, when this child is born, when this son is given, it says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the midst of this darkness and despair and deep darkness and all the chaos that is happening in the world, a son is born and his name is Wonderful. Hallelujah. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The reason that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the reason why it is so important to us, given the context of this scripture, with the backdrop of this devastation that Isaiah talked about, he said it would be temporary, but the reason we celebrate him, because I don't need to seek a psychic, because I have a relationship with the Wonderful Counselor, whose wisdom is without contradiction. The reason I don't need to seek a psychic is because I have a relationship with the Mighty God who created everything. The reason why I don't have to fear is because he is the Prince of Peace. He will keep me in peace. And I celebrate, because not only is he a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, but he is the Everlasting Father. What does that mean? Most children outlive their parents. But our Father is everlasting. We will not outlive our father. Somebody needs to understand that. So that means that we are never alone. We are never without care. We are never orphans, because our Father is an everlasting Father. Even if I live to be 230 years old, I still have a Father. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. This is what this season is all about. That the darkness, in the midst of darkness, light came. Hallelujah to God. And we no longer need to seek information from other places, because the light has come. I want us, for a minute, I want you to think of the blessing it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, let me just say something here, and then we're going to pray and close. I'm sure I'm probably not the only one here. But this year has been difficult. There have been some challenges, some fights, some battles that I had not anticipated. But a few days ago, I decided that I'm not going to let or allow the circumstances that I've had to deal with this year to rob me of the joy that I feel when I consider the birth of Jesus Christ. I decided you're not going to have me sad and depressed in this season. Oh, no. Because I'm not thinking about all the stuff that I lost. I'm not thinking about the things that I wish I had, but I don't have. I'm not going to think about circumstances that I thought would have worked out differently, and I'm a little frustrated and hurt about it, and one thing after another. I'm not going to think about that. You're not going to rob me of the remembrance that in my darkest day, when there was darkness all around, not just me, but all of humanity, one day a child was born. A son was given. Hallelujah. And his name, they call him Wonderful. Hallelujah. And when I talk about wonderful, it's difficult because wonderful is a natural word, but we're using it to describe the supernatural God. But the best we have is to say is he's wonderful. Hallelujah. Not only is he wonderful, but he's a counselor. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that's who we have a relationship with. That's why we celebrate this season. There is joy for us because the light has come. This world is temporary. This world is unfaithful. This world is in chaos. But we are holding on to the mighty hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he will not fail us. He will not let us down. He will not disappoint us. Why? Because he is faithful. Hallelujah, Jesus. He is faithful. Can we just worship him for his faithfulness today? Hallelujah, that he keeps his promises. He never fails us from one generation to the next. His word is always true. Hallelujah. His wisdom is never contradicted. His power never fails. His grace has no limit. His love has no measure. Lord Jesus, we thank you today because you have removed the trouble of our mind and replaced it with your peace. We thank you, Lord, that we no longer live in darkness, but we live in the light of our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that when nothing else would help, your word says that you came and saved us. God, I pray for everyone in this room right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch their hearts with your love in this moment right now. That you would touch their hearts and their minds, that they don't adopt the thought processes of the world, that we don't adopt the philosophies of the world. Help us not to think like everybody else. Change our minds this morning in the name of Jesus. Help us to look to you for instruction and direction. When we're lost and we don't know what to do and we need answers, help us to seek you for our answers. Your word says your spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. Help us today in the name of Jesus Christ. We look to you. Somebody, God, thank you, Lord, needs to know this morning that the darkness they are experiencing this morning in your life, whatever dark area it is, God says it's temporary. Oh, somebody needs to hear that. It is temporary. Look to Jesus, and the light will come. Jesus, as we leave this place but not your presence, I pray right now that we will approach this season with thanksgiving. That we will refuse to allow what you call in your word our light afflictions, which are but for a moment. That we will not allow those things to rob us of the joy of knowing who you are. Hallelujah. That if we don't have anything else to celebrate, we will celebrate that one day we were lost and you found us. One day we were in darkness, but you brought us into the marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you have brought joy to our souls. Hallelujah. Peace to our minds. Hallelujah. You have changed us. And for that, we are forever grateful. Hallelujah. Glory to him who sits on the throne. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to dismiss in a few minutes. But if you desire prayer today, I encourage you to meet us here in the front and let us pray with you. Don't leave here discouraged. Don't leave here worried and full of fear. If you have a relationship with God, you have nothing to fear. Nothing can happen to you that God doesn't know about it. And if he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. One of the promises that keeps us going is he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, for some of us, that might be hard because we have friends that said, I got your back, I'll never leave you. We have spouses that said, I'll never leave you. But when God says he'll never leave you, you can trust that. Oh, man, I tell you. God's promise to stay with us is so precious that it's the first thing that the adversary attacks. And I'm just saying this, I want to help somebody. I'm going to let you go, but I want to help somebody. The first thing the adversary says to you when things go wrong in your life is, where is God? If God was with you, why would that happen? That's the first lie, he says. Here's our response to that. God never promised that we wouldn't have difficulty. God never promised that we wouldn't have challenges and disappointments. God never promised that we wouldn't get sick and we wouldn't hurt. But what he did promise is that he would never leave us. And as long as he is with us, the Bible says, all things work together for the good. Oh, you're looking at somebody who, although I'm called to preach this every Sunday, oh, I have to walk this path myself. I have to tell myself constantly, Timmy, now y'all know y'all can't call me Timmy. You have to know me before 1986 to call me Timmy. But I say, Timmy, God has promised never to leave you. Hold to his hand. He's going to get you through it. It's working for your good. And you got to be arrogant. And you got to look the adversary in the face and say, you are not going to ruin my day. I am not going to be angry. I'm not going to be sad or mad. I choose joy. Hallelujah. Do you know that you can command your day? You can choose joy for today. You can choose peace for today. I have decided to forgive everybody. I'm not angry at nobody. I'm not holding anything against anybody. I love Jesus too much to allow unforgiveness to destroy my life. No, sir, and no, ma'am, you can have it. I choose the joy of the Lord. Yes, sir, because it is my strength, and we're going to make it because God is with us. Hallelujah. Clap your hands if you know God's with you. Yes, sir. Armies may rage against you. The earth may shake and the winds may blow. Hallelujah. But God is with us, and he will see us through. Would you lift your hands in the sanctuary of the Most High God? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, your presence, and your power with us. We thank you for your word that never leaves us, never forsakes us. Thank you that you are the faithful God who never changes and you keep your promise. Thank you for the gift that you have given so long ago, and yet we are still reaping the benefits of your gift. Let us leave here today in peace and in power. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed.